gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island change nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated. And that's good for the economy, because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. And my very special guest today is one of my favourite men in the whole universe, and probably in this and the next, Max Egan from Aussie. Welcome to the program, mate.
Hey, Vinny. Thanks for having me on, brother.
Well, you know, I know you're an incredibly busy man in high demand, so I appreciate you actually taking the time to come on, even at such short notice. And indeed, when I posted the guest schedule for this week, you're at the top of the list for people to come and listen to. So I think you've just boosted the numbers for the show. And thank you for that too.
My pleasure, brother. I'm glad to help.
Now, the reason for your popularity is because you offer incredible insight on the world itself. And I was just wondering, what have you really been up to lately? Apparently, David Icke offered you a TV show and a whole bunch of things could be going off, but you don't like being on camera.
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem. I'm trying to figure out how to do the TV show without actually appearing on it. That would be good.
I would love it. I would love it if you put the dog hat on.
Yeah, for those who don't understand, the guy who owns the property that I'm living on here has got an old dog suit in the garage here, so it's quite novel, actually, and Vinny was suggesting that I put the dog suit on for the show, but I don't know how that would go down with people. I just really don't know if they had sort of, you know, a dog with a hat on sitting there and telling them what's going on in the world. I don't know how much credibility it would have, so I don't know about the dog suit. But yeah, well, it's nice for David to have offered me the show and all that, and I'll probably do it. It's just finding a way and figuring out exactly what I'm going to do, because there's an awful lot involved in producing a television show, especially with me in Australia and him in England. So it's a matter of getting the data to him and all sorts of stuff. So there's a lot of logistics to sort out with that. But it's very good what he's doing on the People's Voice radio station or the People's Voice television station. It's a great idea, and take it to the next level. I mean, you know, so much of the world's brainwashed into television. They only believe things that they see on the television. That's what they do for entertainment. So we may as well give them a station that's going to actually give them the truth. And if it's a private station, it's not subject to any of the commercial rubbish and contractual obligations that they have to go through. Well, it could be something that really reaches a lot of people. So yes, it's good to be involved in it.
Mm-hmm. I do fear, of course, that the nature of the content which people like us produce, it becomes, I don't know, demonizable, if that's even a word, simply by the words of our voice talking the truth. Have you noticed that?
Well, yeah, I mean, that happens. I mean, the more close to the truth you get, often the more you get demonized, but now, if you're really putting stuff out that's just common sense and it's sort of inarguable, then it's hard to do that. That's why I believe I've had so much success with the radio shows that I do and what I do, because I speak in a very common sense, matter-of-fact way, and I just put it out there, put the cards on the table, say, hey, here's what's happening. And it's virtually inarguable. If you look at world from a realistic perspective and you see all the things that we're talking about and all the stuff that we're exposing on the shows here, I mean, it's inarguable. We've got a bunch of psychopath scumbags that are running the planet. They're basically involved in people farming and human trafficking. They're stealing the wealth of this planet and enslaving the population to a system of fictitious debt, all because they sort of get into office and they write these rules down on pieces of paper and we all think it's law. It's a trick. It's a trap. It's just a meme. And people are waking up to it, I think, and that's what it's all about. So, I mean, it's common sense, and it's obvious that we have severe problems on this planet, and everyone's looking for the solution, but they're looking for the solution within the legal parameters constructed by the system. And what I'm trying to point out to them is that those parameters have been constructed to protect the system, not to offer you remedy. You have to step above it, because that's the only place remedy comes from. You've got to remember who and what you are. Remember that these people that we employed that are writing all these rules are simply public trustees. And that's the approach we have to take, I think.
I do believe you're correct, and the perspective on this was made crystalline to me over the weekend when my friend Vince Seymour, who's a Kiwi court watchdog, is being sent to jail for reporting a crime. He reported that one of our judges broke the law when she made a judgment, he's going to jail for it.
Well, that's the thing. See, this is a breach of trust. It's a clear breach of trust. You know, I mean, even what's happened with the Snowden thing, you know, they're charging him with espionage for revealing the fact that the United States government is committing espionage. So what's going on here? You know, I mean, whether he's a good guy or a bad guy, whether it's a controlled leak or whether it isn't or whatever, I mean, really look at the bigger picture here of what's going on. You know, it's a joke.
What's next? You charge somebody who reports on a pedophile for pedophilia?
Yeah, I mean, that's where it's going. That's where it's going. People who report criminal activity in government get charged with crimes. And they say, oh, it's for national security. Well, hang on, how can you have national security if you have criminals in charge of your government? If you have people in government who are not accountable for their actions, how can the nation be secure? When they talk about national security, they're talking about anyone speaking out against the government. It isn't national security, it's politician security that they're worried about.
It's irrational security.
Well, you know, I mean, we're the nation. You know, you people who make up New Zealand are the nation of New Zealand. We people who make up Australia are the nation of Australia. We, the people, will not be secure if we have politicians in office who are not accountable for their actions and, in fact, who are committing criminal activity in our name. And that's what's so interesting about this as well with the whole NSA scandal. It isn't just America. It's a lot of nations involved, New Zealand, Australia, England. A lot of countries are involved in this. And what we've got here, we've got Western governments that are colluding to commit criminal activity against the rest of the world, and they're doing it in our name. So the people in the rest of the world, they don't just say, oh, it's the Australian politicians doing this. They say it's Australia doing this, and that's us, that's me. You know, and same with New Zealand. So they're doing it in our name. They're committing criminal activity in our name. And if we report them or question them on their criminal activity, they have the audacity to accuse us of committing a crime. So we have to step above it all. And even with your mate who's being charged, I mean, he needs to step above that and put it back into trust and say, well, if you're going to charge me with a crime for reporting you for committing criminal activity, you need to show cause why you shouldn't be held in breach of trust by the people of New Zealand. Because obviously this is not what we give you people power for. You only get your power from us. And if you're going to use that power to create legislation which is going to remove our rights and enslave us to debt, then I put it to you that you're in breach of trust. And you need to show cause why you shouldn't be taken to an international tribunal and tried for breach of trust and human rights violations. That's the approach we need to take.
Indeed, and the problem is, I think that those options are no longer exist in New Zealand. We've got arguably the world's most corrupt court system, and it's not because our judges are any more corrupt than anything else. It's because they're all related, all of them. I think we've got like 168 high court justices, and like 89 of them, or some ridiculous percentage of them are like first cousins, and. We recently had a bill introduced for judges to declare pecuniary interests so that they will have to recuse themselves on cases where they have a financial interest. And for the first time in human history, every single judge in the entire country signed a document saying that they don't want this legislation passed. Why would every single judge suddenly agree with that in the whole country?
Because they all have interests. I mean, it's commercial.
They're
it's
on the take.
Interest, mate. It's all commercial court. The whole thing's commercial, even when they give you fines. What I've been saying to people lately is there's we can step above it all because each of us is a unique perspective of creation. There is nobody like Vinnie Eastwood. You are completely unique. There is nobody who has your perspective, and there is nobody who will ever have the experience of being Vinnie Eastwood. That is a unique thing to yourself, and it's the same for everybody. And what happens is we go to court and they tell us we must be subject to the laws of our peers. They say all this sorts of stuff. You could say to them, well, look, can you identify me by my DNA, by my fingerprints? Well, then according to your testimony, I'm unique and therefore I have no peers. I cannot be judged by the laws of my peers. I cannot be judged by the laws of the general legal system because I'm not part of the general population. I am a unique expression of creation, and I stand before the court in the capacity of sui generis. That's a legal term, sui generis, which actually states your uniqueness. And you could put it to the judge that, okay, if you're alleging there has been a crime that I've committed, then I need you to demonstrate that you have jurisdiction over this vessel, this flesh and blood vessel that I inhabit. I need you to produce for me a contract bearing the wet ink signature of my creator, which gave you jurisdiction over this vessel. And if you cannot do that, then I require this court to present me with proof of claim that you are not part of a slavery system, because I believe this to be a system of slavery. I have no peers. I am unique. And if you believe you have jurisdiction or ownership over this vessel, I need proof of claim before we can continue. If you can't produce that for me, I'm prepared to take this to a higher court and charge you with slavery.
Mm. See, if I ever have to go to court, I'm not going to want to be tried by a jury of my peers. I'd rather be tried by a jury of my oranges.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, you know, or lemons, you know, it's the same thing. It's pretty well lemons in the court or bananas or something like that, I think. But
I will be tried by a jury of my bananas.
But as I say, Vinny, you have no peers. Nobody has any peers. If you're a scientist and you're working within that science community, well, maybe you have peers of scientists. But if you're a person, a flesh and blood human being standing in a court and they tell you that you need to be tried by the laws of your peers, well, you have no peers, not under a lawful perspective, because there's only one law, and that's God's law, which is do no harm. Three words, eight letters, that's it. That's the whole of the law. And if I've breached the statute and you're going to prosecute me for that and put me in jail, well, the only harm that's being done is to me. So who broke the law? You know, and there are no peers in a legal sense to me, because I'm completely unique under your own testimony. Simply by the matter that you can identify me by my DNA and fingerprints shows that I'm a completely unique expression of creation. So therefore, I have no peers, you know.
I find it very interesting the way they use words to manipulate people, legalese, words that have double meanings. Like the word lawful now actually means awful. And if you do anything right, that's when the law comes down on you, invariably. It's so unjust. And I made this point the other day that justice is not a natural state. Like if you're a deer running away from a mountain lion or whatever, there ain't no court to protect you. That mountain lion ain't going to be charged with murder. You just get your throat cut out and you get eaten. You know, that's nature for you. It's rough, man. And I think human beings, in an effort to separate ourselves from being animals, we've created this system whereby we can have fairness, justice, equality, and protection, and the rule of law. Unfortunately, that system was created and is now maintained by corrupt scumbaggery.
Exactly. There's only justice for them. There's only remedy for them. And justice is a construct. I mean, we made it up. We made the whole thing up. And as I said, there's really only one law, do no harm. And there's one rule, really, for living your life, which I believe is service to creation. That's it, service to creation, which doesn't mean service to yourself at the expense of others, but it doesn't mean service to others at the expense of yourself. You know, we're all equal here. We're all of equal value. And we all should be given equal respect. And if you live your life that way, I believe it just works. That's the way I live my life, and my life just works, you know. And the whole legal thing, man, I mean, it's just fiction. And it only provides remedy for those at the top within the legal system. That's what it's for. It's designed to tie us up in red tape and to always be extracting money from us. It's all about commerce, the whole thing. It's a system of fear-based mind control, you know, steeped in commerce, and that's what we've got. And we're not going to find remedy within that system. We've got to step above it and know who and what we are. That's the secret. That's the silver bullet. People say, what's this piece of paper I can take to go and fight the system and take them on and rah, rah, rah? And I say, well, I don't fight the system because the system's fiction. I'm fighting a cloud. The system only exists on paper. If I go and fight the system, then I'm saying that it exists. I'm giving it power. I'm giving it substance by fighting it. To me, I just disconnect from it. I don't have anything to do with it unless it attempts to inflict itself upon me. And then I will ask for its jurisdiction. I'll attempt to establish why it believes it can inflict itself upon me. And I've had massive success in any encounter that I've ever had with the legal system, and not with police officers. If police officers arrest you and they just do what they say, get out of their custody as quickly as possible. They're not very intelligent. They'll tase you because they like it. Get out of their custody. Don't argue with police officers on the side of the road. It's not the thing to do. You won't find remedy. Just get out of that and then deal with the legal system through the courts or by writing letters to the right people or whatever, you know. But don't try to argue with cops on the side of the road, as so many people do. That will not get you remedy. It will just get you in trouble and get you in deeper.
You know? Yeah, I mean, look at it this way. I mean, arguments are something you can only do with people who have intelligence, in other words, all right? And cops don't have it. They literally don't have intelligence. And this is true because they've actually decided that anybody who gets a high spike on the IQ test for the Australian police, and my friend Gavin has told me this when he went in to get tested, they said, no, mate, you're too smart. You'll go nuts by serving us. And that's just another way of saying, well, you're intelligent enough to work out the fact that we're a criminal gang full of scum and that we hate people and we get pleasure out of destroying people's frickin' lives. And you're intelligent enough to work that out. So you're going to be a danger to the police if we actually hire you and allow you to do it. So we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Don't you go anywhere.
Bonkers.
In my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. I know I care about is sex and violence, and every baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but unless I let you give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free, and I'm just living my life. There's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for free
media, because if you're not part of the new media, you are by very definition old and crusty. Media. They are pathetic for the amount of coverage that they give to incredibly important issues, such as Vince Seymour's plight. What I find very interesting about the media is that instead of interviewing these people and allowing them to speak for themselves in long form and explain the massive amount of details of corrupt scumbaggery, they instead summarise by leaving out about 99% of the details. And if they interview an activist at a protest who is on a megaphone of some description, they are in fact reduced not just to a soundbite, but something even smaller, referred to commonly as an audio nibble. As a result of these audio nibbles, nobody and their hunger for the truth will ever be sated. This is the reason why I have dedicated my life. This is the reason why I only slept for a couple of hours last night, and here I am again. At it again! Because corrupt scum, like Justice Winkleman, are the bane of the existence of all freedom-loving people in this country. Those who are honest, those who are decent, those who care for their fellow man and the integrity of their nation are indeed the targets of people like Justice Winkleman, because they are afraid. They are afraid to be exposed, and they freaking well should be. The death penalty is something reserved only for those who commit an act of treason in this nation. And I say it to you, Justice Winkleman, I believe, based on the evidence, that you are guilty of treason against the people of this country. And you should be tried, unlike the Uruwera people, by a jury of your peers and be hung from the neck until dead. Please listen to these words very carefully. Justice is coming for you. If you're in there, and you may not be, and who cares whether or not you are, because it's being recorded and people watch it on the internet anyway, Listen to the words of my voice. I will not bow to you. Your robes and your Masonic rings, if you've got them, are not signals of power that I respect, nor will I obey. And nor will any other good, decent person in this country, so long as they exude the bravery, the diligence of Vince Seymour. He is a man with integrity. When you do not protect those within your society who have integrity from those within your society who have masses of unchecked power, there is very little reason for the country to not descend into tyranny, where the rule of law is ignored, where the awful is kept into lawful, where scumbaggery becomes the entire apparatus. Our police, our judges, our politicians are all complicit, whether by saying nothing against it or whether by being engaged directly within it. You are just as culpable if you help to cover up corruption if you instead did it yourself. Please grow a conscience. That might not be possible, but please try anyway. Getting justice for Vince might not be possible, but I'm going to try and do it anyway. Not because I think it's an easy fight, but because I believe in my heart that it is the right thing to do, and that to do any less would be spitting on the lives of my grandfather and all his friends that died at war, would be spitting on all of those who defend freedom and justice in this country today. The honest police officers, the honest judges, if there are any, and the honest, good, decent people. Thank you. Well done, ladies.
What do you think of that, Max?
Pretty powerful stuff there, Vinny. Pretty powerful stuff. That was out the front of a judge's house, was it?
Yeah, Justice Winkleman, bro.
Okay. Interesting stuff. And this was from someone who got jailed for exposing criminality in the court, was it?
Yeah, that's Vince Seymour. And he's basically the country's top court watchdog. He's exposed copious quantities of stuff like, dig this, bro. Do you know who appoints all of our Supreme Court justices? The Solicitor General. He appoints them himself, and there's no oversight. There are eight High Court justices, they built a bill. I think they made a building for them that cost like $16 million or something like that. And out of those eight High Court justices, two of them are a husband and wife.
Unbelievable.
Can you spell conflict of interest? Anybody? And this is why Vince is really being jailed, I believe, because he actually is exposing that because of the endemic corruption in our court system, it is the most corrupt system in the world.
The New Zealand court system.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the legislation they put through in the last couple of years, whereby virtually anybody could be detained and searched, and all your phone book and all your friends can be searched, and all of this sort of stuff. I mean, it seems to be that New Zealand is leading the world in the police state apparatus at this time.
We're a good test case because we have a westernized population. And we have mainstream media apparatus, we have vaccines and the health system and all of that kind of stuff. We're very, very, very similar to the other Western nations. So naturally, if they're going to implement something somewhere else, they often try it here first. And if the experiment goes well, then they begin to introduce it into other parts of the world.
Well, that's what they do everywhere. They've done it here as well, like with carbon tax. They do that all around the planet. See, they just try it somewhere. They just see, okay, that worked with them. Okay, well, now we'll extrapolate that out across the rest of the planet.
Can I speak about the carbon tax there for a second? Because me and Sarah, we were sitting on the couch watching the TV, and Prime Minister Rudd is taking over from Julia Gillard, and he says that he's going to scrap the carbon tax. We went, yeah, and replace it with an emissions trading scheme. Ah.
Cap and trade. cap and tray is what they wanted to begin with, you see, but they couldn't get the cap and trade in. So, yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just a way of marginalizing countries. It's ridiculous. Now we're trading in carbon credits, you know. Yeah, and so we can buy other credits from other countries. So we'll buy your carbon credits, which means we can produce more pollution than we should as long as you produce less. So that means you got to stay in the third world. You know, I mean, it's amazing. It's a transfer of wealth. Yeah. Well, absolutely. Well, you'll find that all the wealth's going to transfer into the third world, though. They're going to reduce the first world to the third world, probably the fourth world, because they've got people in Western countries now so dependent upon the system, so dependent upon money, that the people in you could reduce the first world down to the level of the third world or even the fourth world, and these people are so indoctrinated into the system that they'll go work the mines, they'll do anything they can, they'll rip their forest down, they'll do all this stuff because they believe they need to collect paper for their kids. You know, to raise their families. They believe they need paper to survive. They're so locked into this economic system now that you can take all of their wealth away and they will work harder and harder and harder. I mean, back in the last few decades even, I mean, when I was a kid, my father could work 4 days a week and the whole family was looked after. Now you've got to have mum, dad and the kids with weekend jobs just to pay the rent, you know, just to keep yourself above the water. So, you know, it's getting harder and harder and harder to live, and it's because people are so dependent upon this economic system. So now you've got all the people in the third world that have been reduced to this state of abject poverty. Now you can dangle trinkets and mobile phones and computers and laptops in front of them, and they're all going to want it. They're all going to want the world that they see on the television, so they'll happily embrace the first world, which will completely disconnect them from their family units that they've got, because they've still got very strong family ties in third world countries. And when you get all this stuff, it disconnects you from all that, disconnects you from your roots, disconnects you from the art of yourself. You start enjoying life externally with all these external trinkets and toys that break down all the time. So you have to start exploiting each other to keep buying more. It's a vicious cycle. That's what they do. They just move the wealth around the planet, and it disconnects people from themselves as they do it, and it reduces the rest to slave workers and factory workers, you know.
I mean, the only cycle that I think is more vicious is the Tour de France. Now, speaking of Vince Seymour and that little speech that I gave there, at that protest, there was a mainstream media news reporter chick. Well, she wasn't a reporter; she was just a camera person. You know, they couldn't even be bothered sending a reporter out. And surprise, surprise, the TVNZ crew that arrived and took footage did no story. And TV3, who didn't even bother to turn up, made a story, but it had zero details of why he was actually jailed and what the suppressed court order that he was being jailed for violating was. And the National Business Review did a piece, but you have to pay $120 to read it. And the Sunday Star Times reporter who turned up also released no story. And I did about 10 videos with all of the full info about police and judicial corruption in New Zealand and what is going on. Who's the real media?
Yeah, exactly.
Guerrilla media.
Exactly, mate. See, people know now that they're not getting news from the mainstream, and that's why the alternate media has become so large. That's why people are tuning in and listening to shows like this, because it's the only place they get the real news. And news has got to come from the people on the ground. You know, the alternate media has developed out of a need to have a workable media. It's just been this organic process, and it's just developed organically because it needs to be there. People need to know what's going on. People want to know what's going on, and they're not getting that from the mainstream anymore. That's why it's so hard to lock human consciousness down, Vinny, because we just keep moving the goalposts. We're organic. We're creative. We just create new stuff all the time, and the more they try to lock us down, the more people they wake up. And so, you know, they're ruining their own nest, really. So, you know, they can't keep us down. And you know, massive things are happening at the moment through the alternate media. And it's good to be part of it. It really is. But that's where people are going now. If they want information, they're going online to get it, because that's the only place you'll find it.
It's true. And what was very interesting is last night I was having a little bit of a discussion with an activist, and I told her that the beehive in Wellington, you know, our Parliament building, is a Masonic symbol built by a Freemason. She's like, oh, where's the evidence of that? And there aren't too many Freemasons in New Zealand anyway. And I was like, what's your argument? Are you arguing that a small group of determined individuals can't have any influence? You know? And I'd never actually done this before, but I started Googling about Freemasonry in New Zealand and who built the thing. And I found not only one, but two mainstream articles that confirmed that this guy, that the designer was a Freemason, and so on and so forth. And pictures of John Key at the Freemasons Lodge and all this kind of stuff. And our three top people are 32nd and 33rd degree Masons of the Scottish Rite and so on and so forth. So even if they're a small, dwindling clique of people, it was actually unusual, very unusual back in the day for a Prime Minister of New Zealand to not be a Mason, you know? The power structure is still there, by all accounts. The problem is it's hidden, it's secret, you know? Nobody knows what the heck goes on in there. How would we know? Even if they didn't have any influence, there's no way to confirm that because everything that they do is secret.
Exactly, and we need transparency. That's what I was saying. I did a show on Australian Community Radio last week, and we were talking about the whole surveillance thing in the NSA, and I said, okay, well, if we need surveillance, I'm all for surveillance. Let's put surveillance in every government building in the country, in every room in every government building, so we know exactly what these politicians are up to, and let's we, the people who employ these politicians, assess what's going on within the corridors of Parliament, and then we will decide whether we need surveillance in any other place, because I would suggest that that's where all the corruption comes from. All the war, yes. All the problems that we have around the planet. I mean, I've travelled, I've never met anybody who wanted war. War doesn't come from other countries, it comes from corrupt politicians and corrupt governments around the world. Every single problem that we face, every single corporation that has control over a situation because of some charter that's been granted to it by politicians, the money system that enslaves us that is approved by our elected trustees, every single problem that we face on this planet is the result of corruption in government, every single one of them. And that's why we need to step above it. You know, we need to realize what our relationship with these people is, which is trust. It's a trust agreement. The people that you're dealing with are just people. They do not have any special power. They do not have any control, any jurisdiction. They don't have any of it. They just wrote it down on a piece of paper. You know what a law is, folks? Legislation. They just say, hey, we can do this. You know why we can do this? Because we wrote it down in this book here that says that we can do it. And look, it's got a fancy letterhead. So now you have to let us do this. That's what legislation is. Legislation is an attempt by politicians to remove actual law from the planet and replace it with their will. That's all legislation is. It's got nothing to do with actual law.
Yeah, exactly. The argument is, you must do this because we made it up. Really?
Because we made it up and we wrote it down.
Why we have to do this? Because you made it up? What?
Yeah. But it's got a fancy letterhead. Look, it's got a little gold stamp and a fancy letterhead. So that makes it all, yes, of course you have to do it.
All right. And now what we have to do is go to break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. In just a few minutes. Don't you go anywhere.
It's corrupt.
Yeah.
Just like many judges in New Zealand, they operate as a small clique to protect themselves from public scrutiny. The media are complicit with their cowardice.
They are.
Their inability to cover the truth and what truly matters is in fact the very reason why this country continues to be a corrupt, corporate-controlled coup of a nation.
There are two groups of individuals in this country that I feared. One being the gangs, the other being the police, who are incidentally a gang. The reason why I fear these two groups of people, and I'm going to add judges to those lists, as I did yesterday when I found out about what happened to Vince, is that they both use violence, deception, and both have no respect for the rule of law. Justice is an artificial state of being created by humanity. Justice does not exist in nature.
You look at nature, nature is not just. If you are a small little deer and you're running away from a large mountain lion, there's no court to protect you. There's nobody to charge the mountain lion with murder. You just get killed, you get your throat ripped out. In nature, there is no justice, and man, in an effort to detach ourselves from being animals, have created a system whereby people can get justice, and it's artificial. And so, here I am, using an artificial device called a microphone, to expose this type of corruption, to create an artificial justice that naturally doesn't happen with a corrupt court system.
They have a duty to question their orders. Okay. Corruption cannot exist. Corruption cannot exist. And there's thugs in uniform backing up. Question your orders. Remember the Nuremberg trial. You will be held accountable. You will be held accountable. Wearing a uniform is no excuse. You question your orders. What did you put that uniform on for? Was it to be corrupt?
Okay, so you're here because...
I'm just here to speak to whoever's organising today.
Because
obviously there's people standing in the road and there's a lot of noise. You can take that out of my face.
And a police officer.
Just a microphone, sir. I'm a member of the media. I don't care if you're a member of the Moon Party. I don't want it in my face, thank you.
Okay, so how much distance would you like?
I just want to speak to whoever's organising today.
So you're just concerned about people getting run over, are you?
Penny, I just want to speak to whoever's organising.
Well, I'm one of the people that's organised it, but a number of people organising it.
The perpetrator is in that house, sir! 20 Audrey, Justice, Henry, Helen Winkleman, or is it Henry? Sometimes I find it difficult to tell with a hairdo.
I'm well aware of your rights and duties, but I just need to speak to whoever's organising today, that's all.
It's a fairly reasonable... Please, ladies and gentlemen, we have been instructed not to obstruct the road, so can you please stand on the sidewalks, keep the public safe, do not interfere with the police, follow their instructions, unless they are unlawful, in which case it is your lawful duty to not obey.
Well, I can step out of the way if that's the case, but I'm not obstructing anyone. I won't be moving. What you people are doing wearing those uniforms, the police wearing those uniforms are obstructing justice taking place. And justice does not come from corrupt court rulings. Think about what you're doing wearing that uniform.
If anybody wishes to cross the road right now, stand here and we'll have a policeman escort you across the road. There's no need for sarcasm, but there is a need for justice. There is a need for truth. There is a need for civil disobedience. We're here today for one reason only. It's because people like these two over here and this one over here won't allow democracy to take place, and they are not following up on the rule of law. They make it, they don't abide by it. When we think about the rule of law, one must believe and know that the law applies to everybody. No, I don't, Winkleman. When Winkleman breaks the law, she becomes a criminal who should be arrested. When you get arrested, you should have taken a statement, evidence should be gathered. But unfortunately, the laws in this nation are not applied equally. The rain falls down as if the very elements want to wash away protesters in a flurry of scumbaggery. Excuse me, just to the police. I want you to know that you are respected by us. We won't assault you. We won't insult you or anything of that nature. What we wish for is for you to remember your oath to uphold the law. Justice Winkleman has broken the law. And Vince Seymour, who through duty to the rule of law, reported this instance. And instead of Justice Winkleman going to jail, Vince Seymour is going to jail for reporting a crime. When was the last time, men in uniform, that you arrested somebody for reporting a crime? Only when a criminal has a uniform or a black cape like frickin' Batman do they become immune to the rule of law, apparently.
Now, the the obscenity of what's happening in this country. I don't know how emotional other people are, but I'm a relatively emotional person. You know, I feel because I actually care about my fellow man. And a lot of these people who are enforcing this kind of criminal scumbaggery don't play by the same rules, don't feel the same emotions that I do. What's wrong with them? Really?
Well, they're psychopaths, Vinny. They're psychopaths. That's the thing. You know, we've got psychopaths that are running the place. And you know, that's why it's important for you to speak out like the way you do, because what they've done with this guy, arresting him for reporting a crime, and because the crime that he reported is against a judge, they've set a legal precedent. And this means that anybody who reports a crime, if that crime was committed by anybody within a position of authority, well, you're going to go to jail for reporting that crime. So it removes all accountability from government. It shows what we're going to do to you if you try to mess with us. We're going to steal from you. We're going to indulge in our system of human trafficking. We're going to take the wealth of this planet from you. And if you dare to step out of line, we're going to throw you in jail. That's what it says to the public. And the public need to pay attention to what's going on. And they need to take the matter in hand. And that can only be done with things like what you're doing. It's got to be grassroots. People have to stand up and say enough is enough. And ask these people to show cause. Well, they shouldn't be held in breach of trust. You know, that's what you have to do. It's a breach of trust. It's a clear breach of trust. Any person within the judicial system that is going to arrest someone for reporting a crime, be it a police officer or whatever, if a police officer gets a report from a judge that he has to go and arrest this guy, he should arrest the judge, because it was the guy who reported the crime. And it's just because, okay, he reported the crime against this person who happens to be one of the guys who writes these rules down in books. Does that mean I can't arrest this guy because he's one of the people who writes these rules down in the books? Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like you say, it's a two-tiered legal system. There's one set of rules for them and there's one set of rules for us. It creates this whole, what would I say? It's almost like a feudal system, like a... You know, it's like a monarchy over all of our nations, almost, you know, where these guys just write the rules, they're above them, and we just have to go along with it. And the people have to pay attention, because it could happen to any single person who decides to report anybody in any place of authority for any type of crime. You'll get situations where you've got a child who reports a teacher for molesting them, and he gets in trouble for doing so. You know, so, you know, the child gets in trouble for doing so. It'll come right down to that level where this is happening within the school system even. So, you know, through all authority, you know, we've really got to watch where this is going, you know.
And you know what's worse is it's not just the authorities and those who you would expect to be corrupt and so on and so forth who endorse and allow this kind of thing to happen. What's worse is members of the public who say, yeah, he should be arrested. Yeah, he should be thrown in jail without trial. Yeah, he should be kicked in the head while he's handcuffed in the cells. Yeah, he should be pepper sprayed for protesting. Yeah, they should, you know?
Yeah.
That's the scary thing.
Well, you know, it's because this society is designed to nurture any sociopathic spark that anybody has within them. And when you've taken people's power away from them and you've reduced them to a shell of what they should be, then they want to, you know, they want to jump on the bandwagon. They want to go and kick someone. They want to just, yeah, let's get him, let's hurt him. It releases that inner tension. They just want to hate something. They want something to be able to direct their anger at because their lives are miserable. They just never really look at why their lives are so miserable, you know. And you can't really blame people. They're programmed for these responses. That's what they do. It's all programmed responses. It's fascinating to see that it does happen. It's fascinating to see how far human consciousness and mankind has strayed from their path. It really is. But again, it's a program. You've got to understand that people do this because they're programmed to react that way. That's what this society does. That's what this social structure does. You know, the people like us who think outside of that box are the rarity, unfortunately, you know?
Well, you know, gold is a valuable resource because it's so rare, Max. And it also occurs to me you don't need a cast of thousands, you know. Traditionally, and I think there's a quote somewhere in there from somebody much older and wiser than myself, never underestimate the power of a small, determined minority to change the world, because in truth, it's the only thing that ever has.
Exactly.
We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. .com, ladies and gentlemen. Don't look for things to hate and destroy. Look for things to love and support. Like the Vinnie Eastwood Show at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.